Word of mouth.
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 Mouth. From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Archaeologists last week produced the first scientifically verified case of survival cannibalism in colonial America. Forensic analysis of the 17th century human remains of a 14-year-old girl being called Jane were unveiled after being unearthed at colonial Jamestown. The discovery sheds new light on the deadly winter of 1609 to 1610, referred to as the Starving Time. Chief Archaeologist William Kelso is from the Jamestown Rediscovery Project at Preservation, Virginia. They worked along with the Smithsonian's National Museum of Natural History and also the Colonial Williamsburg Foundation on the discovery. Dr. Kelso, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, tell us a little bit about life at Jamestown circa 1609. How were colonists surviving then?
Well, you got into the winter of 1609, 1610. They were particularly desperate. The 300 new colonists had come over that summer without provisions. They were surrounded by the Powhatan Indians, Virginia Indians, so they couldn't go out to forage and hunt. Times got extremely desperate and hopeless as they went through the winter and started into the early spring. And one account says that only 60 remained alive out of about 300.
Mm. So what is it about this discovery, this skull, that points to cannibalism?
Well, the forensic evidence on we found a partial skull and a part of a tibia or the shin bone.
Mm-hmm.
And these marks are definite signs of defleshing the head, cracking open the skull, saw cuts along the jaw and under the jaw, actually. The forensic anthropologist at the Smithsonian has no doubt that this was done for the soft tissue. And you put that together with there are at least six written accounts of that cannibalism was taking place by a few people during that winter.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first physical evidence that states that that's true, plus the fact we found these remains in a buried situation that we know we can date to the same year.
How about the cause of death for this young, this teenage girl? Any indication that she was dead and then cannibalized?
There is some indication that she had already died. There are cuts to the forehead that are very close together and very parallel. It was very tentative sort of cuts. If the person was alive and moving, that couldn't have been done. We don't know the cause of death, but we assume that she, in all probability, starved to death first.
So was the possibility of cannibalism in Jamestown considered before this academically? I know you said there were written accounts, but those could be hearsay. How have academics treated this in the past?
Well, some historians believed it. I'm a historian background as an archaeologist.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. I thought the different accounts were so kind of scrambled. They didn't quite jibe. They didn't quite go together. I thought maybe they were written as sent back to the sponsoring company saying, "Hey, we need more provisions, we need more supplies," or they were one governor was saying that during his term, this didn't happen or did happen, or it was just strange. So it was like an argument. So I didn't really believe it, and maybe I didn't want to, But I have to be objective, and now. I mean, beyond reasonable doubt, we've got these three bodies of evidence, the archaeological context, we've got the written word, and we have the forensic analysis.
We're speaking with William Kelso. He's chief archaeologist with the Jamestown Rediscovery Project. That's at Preservation, Virginia, one of the organizations and teams working on looking at the Jamestown settlement and actually at Fort James discovering evidence of human cannibalism, survival cannibalism, as they call it, at the colonial Jamestown settlement. So, Dr. Kelso, how did the colonists survive after this starving time, after this desperate winter of 1609 to 1610?
Well, in June, the company sent a resident governor, hundreds more colonists, healthy colonists, and provisions for a year. So they were rescued at the last minute. In fact, they had actually started to leave Jamestown on ships, and they were intercepted after about 6 miles down the river and told to go back. And so then after that, it's not a story of happily ever after for the colony. They had other hard times, but it never went to this low point again.
Mm. So do you think you and your team will be looking to or will uncover more forensic evidence of survival cannibalism in the years to come?
Well, that's the joy and frustration of archaeology. We don't know what we're going to find. Mm. But it seems to me that if there were many instances or even just a few that the records indicate, it's possible. We have more to excavate inside the fort areas, and we know the fort was expanded to the east a considerable distance. So there's plenty more of areas to look. And what we really want to do, of course, is determine how Jamestown was first settled and then how it evolved during the early part of the 17th century.
Any sense in where you found this skeleton, or these remains, rather, that there was an attempt to quote-unquote, bury the evidence, you know, keep it out of sight?
No. In fact, this was a secondary deposit. The skull had been out in the weather to some extent before it wound up in these pits. And when the resident governor was sent in, he was Lord Delaware, he said that he had his men cleanse the town. And it was a pretty bad mess at that point. And so we think he went into trash piles and other deposits around and just filled in cellars, and we found this in an abandoned kitchen bakery site. So, you know, that's how it gets where it is. And we found other human parts of skeletons, of human skeletons here and there in different deposits, but nothing, they didn't have the forensic information on them to say that they had anything to do with cannibalism. But this is the first physical evidence of it in the colonial period.
Dr. Kelso, I just want to thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Dr. William Kelso is chief archaeologist with the Jamestown Rediscovery Project at Preservation Virginia. If you want to find more, we've got links to more on his discovery. Also, coming up, contemporary settlements and land grabs bring up questions of who owns land. That's when Word of Mouth continues.